And the message today is simply entitled, The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We're going to ask you to work a little bit again today. I want you to follow with me. Go with me to the book of John, the fourth gospel, and we're going to start in chapter number 14. There will be some scriptures on the screen, but I'll tell you when those will pop up. But anyway, let's search the scriptures together this morning. John chapter 14, and the subtitle in this is Jesus is comforting his disciples. But then as we go down to where we're going and into the chapter, we're going to begin at verse number 15. John chapter 14, verse 15, and the subtitle there is Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. It's a promise for every believer. And so he says this. He said, if you love me, there's that little word if you love me, then you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor or comforter, is my favorite word. He'll give you another counselor or comforter to be with you forever. Who is that? The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Notice that God refers to the Holy Spirit in the masculine, calling the Holy Spirit him. He is the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead. But he says, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be or is in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. I'm going to try to do this kind of chronologically this morning. So let's skip down to verse number 25 of that same chapter, John 14. Go to verse number 25, and it says this. Again, all of this is Jesus speaking to us. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I've said to you. And then I like this verse that follows up. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. So he's preparing them for his departure. He's trying to bring comfort to them at the beginning of that chapter, and then he's reassuring them that I'm not going to leave you alone. Yes, I have to depart. I'm going to go away, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor is going to come, so I'm going to leave you with my peace. That's the end result, is that you're going to be left with my peace, which the world cannot give to you and which the world cannot take away. Let's go to John chapter 15. And let's go towards the end of that chapter, verse number 26. John chapter 15 and verse number 26. When the counselor or the comforter comes, underline the word when. Not if he comes, not if maybe he's going to come or he might come, but when it's going to happen. When the counselor, the comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he, the Holy Spirit, will testify about me. So many times, people in Pentecost and other denominations as well think that when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're only talking about tongues, and people are afraid of tongues sometimes. But the real thing here, what we'll see a little bit more, is that the Holy Spirit comes to testify about Jesus. He comes to tell us about the Lord, what he's heard. And then he says in the next verse, and also, he says, you also must testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. So Jesus is again preparing his disciples for his departure, and he said, look, you're also going to be my witnesses because you've been with me since the beginning. Since I first started my ministry, you guys that I selected, the 12, you followed me. You know what I'm doing, what I'm talking about. You've seen the miracles. And so you're going to give testimony through the power of the Holy Spirit of all that you've seen and that you've heard. Let's go to John chapter 16, probably the same page, verse 5, maybe one over. And we're going to start at verse number 5, John 16, verse 5. And this subtitle is The Work of the Holy Spirit. The Work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of stuff. There's no way you can preach about the Holy Spirit in just one sermon. You could preach forever on the Holy Spirit, just like you could on the Father, on the Son. But I want to share just a few things this morning. The work of the Holy Spirit, 16, verse 5. Now I'm going to him who sent me. Jesus tells them, all of his disciples, he says, I'm going to leave you, but I'm going back to the one that sent me, and now's the time. Yet none of you asked me, where are you going? And why? Because I've said these things, you're filled with grief. It's not, you know, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Well, Jesus said, I'm going back to the one that sent me. But yet you're not asking me where I'm going. But it's because you're filled with grief. You're more concerned about yourself than where I'm going back to. And so verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I'm going away. And then look at this, unless I go away, the counselor, the comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now this is a confusing verse. Unless I go, it's no one really has an answer. But Jesus says, unless I go away, the comforter can't come. We don't understand that. We know the Father sits on the throne in heaven. We know that now, today, Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, for me and you. And so it's the Holy Spirit that's in the world today, right? But Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Comforter can't come. Now, is there a rule that God and Jesus, or I don't know, you know, somebody has to be in heaven? I don't know. And of course, we know God is omniscient. We know he's omnipresent. We know he's omnipotent. You know, we know these things. But it's still a bit confusing as to why Jesus would put it this way. But he says, but if I go, when I go back to heaven, then I will send the Comforter to you. Next verse. When he comes, again, not if, but when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men don't believe in me. That's a sin, not to believe in Jesus. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, because the Father is the righteous one. And then he says, and because I'm going to the Father where you will see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Satan himself now stands condemned. Verse 12, Jesus says to them, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you or show you what is yet to come. That's awesome. We don't ever have to be caught off guard, because the Holy Spirit, part of his job, part of the work of the Spirit, is to show us what's yet to come. He said, I'm going to tell you what's yet to come, show you what's yet to come, and prepare you for it. And so that's all part of his work. It's all part of his work to reveal what has been spoken to him. He will only speak what he hears, and he'll tell you and show you what's yet to come. Now let's go over to John chapter 20, briefly over there. John chapter 20, and we're going to pick up at verse number 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. We're getting to the end of the Gospels here. And it's where Jesus appears to his disciples after his ascension. And so we pick up there, chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, that Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, catch that, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Remember, he had told them before, I'm going to leave my peace with you. Now he speaks it to them again. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. One day we'll do a whole message on that word sent. David sent Joab out when he should have gone to war. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. God sent Jesus. All of these things, the word sin is really, really important. And God, he says, I'm sending you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them. I love that. Back in the day when we were created, when Adam and Eve were created, God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we know from Scripture that they did not receive that fullness of the Spirit then, okay? Because he said, we're going to see in just a minute, he said, you got to wait. It's going to be a little bit later when it actually happens. But he breathed on them, prophesying over him, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, this portion you're going to have on the screen. I'm going to turn there in my Bible. But I'm going to Luke chapter 24. You can follow in your Bible or on the screen, either one on this one. Luke 24. And we're going to pick up at verse number 44. Again, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. I love that. So all the scriptures that the Jewish people have to this point, he says, all those things that you know about that have been written about me, that you've heard in the synagogue about the Messiah, he says, it's got to be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Wow, that's what Jesus is saying. Now that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But at that moment, Jesus was opening to them and revealing to them what the scriptures said. So he told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses. That word witnesses is important. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you. I am going to send you. It hasn't happened yet. Even though he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, the fullness of that has not taken place yet. He said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city of Jerusalem, until you have been clothed or endued with power from on high. An old Pentecostal term is, in the word wait, is tarry. Tarry, wait. Wait here until you receive this power, this anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Now, you're going to have to turn with me to a different book for just a minute. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, and we're going to start with chapter 1, verse 1. The book of Acts. Remember now, Luke has written a gospel, but Luke also has written the book of Acts. And he's talking about here, at this point, where Jesus is about to be taken up to heaven. And so he writes, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions, how? Through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. We just read about that. All those things we just read in John and in Luke were all to the disciples, and of course to us too today as we read and study the scriptures. But he said it came through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. Verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. I spoke from this on Easter Sunday about this section of scripture right here. And so he appeared to them for 40 days, over 40 days, spoke to them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, which we just read about, while he was eating with them, he gave this command. We just read it. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. I love that word, gift. The Holy Spirit is a gift to the church. It's a gift to the body of Christ. Just like salvation is a gift, a free gift to us, but cost God everything, his only Son. But he says, wait for this gift that my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist, he baptized with or in water. But Jesus says to them, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It actually happened 10 days later. 10 days later, we'll read about it. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. So today, we don't know. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We don't know the time or the date of his return. But God knows, and it will happen when God says it's going to happen. But then verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be what? You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So today we have our own Jerusalem, our own Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth as well. That's why we give to missions, because we're reaching the nations to the best of our ability with the gospel through missionaries that we have sent out. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 with me. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. Covering a lot of scripture this morning, but I think it's important for us to have this background on the Holy Spirit and the order of all this happening. And so this is the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It's implying that there was a unity there among them, and the time had fully come. They're ripe for this. They've been in prayer, and they've been fasting and seeking God 10 days. The crowd that saw Jesus ascend to heaven was over 500 people. But now 10 days later, just 10 days later, they're down to only 120. There's only 120 people. But they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind from heaven came and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Interesting that even though they're in prayer and they're worshiping and they're seeking God, they were sitting. You know, I like to walk when I pray. Some people kneel when they pray. Doesn't matter what your position is, just do it. Amen? Just do it. But anyway, this it says it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Two words I like there is rest and each. The tongues of fire separated, and they came down and they rested. They landed, they dwelt, they remained on them, on each of them. In other words, it was for all 120. Nobody was left out. Nobody was left out. All 120. This tongue of fire sat, rested upon each of them. Verse 4, all of them, nobody was left out. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And how did they know that? They began to speak in other tongues or other languages, languages that they had not learned. And again, with the Holy Spirit, you're not seeking seekings. Tongues are a result. Tongues are a manifestation. What you're seeking is you're seeking the Holy Spirit. You're seeking the third person of the Trinity. You're seeking to have him come into your heart and life. Now, he's already done that at salvation. Unless the Spirit of God draws you, you can't come to Christ to be saved. The Spirit has to draw you, convict you of sin, and woo you in, draw you in. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't do that, you can't come. That's what Scripture says. But it says they began to speak in other tongues, languages that they had not learned. And so the Spirit enabled them to do this. Verse 5. Now they were staying in Jerusalem. There's a feast, a festival going on. So Jews from all over the known world, they're there. They were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. Why? Because each one of those people from all those different nations, they heard them speaking in their own language. How cool. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Yes, they were. They were all from that region. And so it's even more amazing. So they ask, then how is it that each one of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So the Holy Spirit, as we speak in those heavenly languages, many times we're just praising God. We're the wonders of God, the praises of God, the glory of God is being spoken in a tongue that we have not even learned. Amazed and yet perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean? What's up? What's happening?" Some, however, made fun of them. You're always going to have that. There's always going to be doubters and disclaimers. Some of them made fun and said they've just had too much wine. They're drunk. They're high. They're happy, you know. But Peter stood up. I love that. In the Old Testament, she's grieving. She doesn't have a child. And one day, Hannah just stood up. She had enough. She stood up. Peter does the same thing. Peter, the one that just denied Jesus three times. "I don't know the man. I don't know him. No, I'm not his disciple." Three times. Now Peter stands up. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's got a boldness. The Lord told him, "You're going to be witnesses unto me," you know? And so here he goes. Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. And he says this, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." This is awesome. This is directly from Joel chapter 2. He says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Are you young? You're still seeing visions. Are you old? You're dreaming dreams. My pastor always said, he was in his mid to upper 60s, and he said, "I'm still seeing visions." He never would say he was dreaming. But that's what the word says here. And then verse 18, "Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." And then this prophetic word, "I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun is going to be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord." And then this great verse, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved." Jesus said, "Call to me and I'll answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know nothing about. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved." Let's skip over to verse number 37. This, that same chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. "When the people heard this," that whole crowd, when they heard this, "they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do? In light of all this that you're telling us, what are we supposed to do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the" what? The gift of the Holy Spirit. There are some denominations that say you have to baptize them in the name of Jesus only. Jesus himself gave the rule for baptizing. Jesus said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," is what Jesus said. The reason he says the name of Jesus here is because they already believed in the Father. They already believed in the Holy Spirit, but they had not yet accepted Jesus as their Messiah. And that's why Peter says, you got to repent and you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then this verse tells us, who is this gift available to and for? He says, the promise. And remember, Jesus said it's the promise of the Father. It's the promise of the Father, but it also became the promise of the Son to his disciples. He said, the promise is for you and also to your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Down through the centuries since this has been written, he's saying that whoever the Lord calls into a place of salvation And the Holy Spirit dwells in us at salvation. Speaking, and he says, well, this promise of the fullness of the Spirit with that physical evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue, signifying that you've received this baptism in the Holy Spirit. He said it's for whoever God calls down through the ages. It's for whosoever will. Just like salvation is for whosoever will, so the Holy Spirit is for whosoever will. Now, get down to some practical. How can someone receive the Holy Spirit? How does that even happen? How do you do that? Well, first of all, you'll see on the screen, it's as we worship. We read about that in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. They were all together in one place, in one accord. They were praying. They were worshiping the Lord together. And all of a sudden, the tongues of fire came, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The second way is while the word is being preached. And I want us to turn there. Turn with me to Acts chapter 10. We've only been in a couple of books this morning, John and then Acts, and we've had the Luke scriptures up there for you. So while the word is being preached, let's go to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to pick up at verse number 44. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 44. And it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, he's preaching to Cornelius and all of his family and friends that have gathered there. Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, the Jews who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They thought, this is just a Jewish thing. They didn't realize that the Holy Spirit was for whosoever will, for anybody and everybody. And so they said, for they heard them. How did they know they'd been filled? Because they heard them speaking in tongues or languages and praising God. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just like us. Just like us. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days, which of course he did, and taught them even further. But then there's a final way we can receive the Holy Spirit, and that's by simply asking God to do it. Just by simply asking God to do it. Now, you're going to have it on your screen. I'm going to turn back to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11, and we're going to begin at verse number 11. Luke 11, verse 11, Jesus speaking here, and it says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So there's the four scriptural ways that you can receive the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the sign that accompanies that, that we see in Scripture, whether it's stated explicitly or implied, is that you'll speak in a language you've never learned. It's another tongue. But again, tongues is not what you're seeking. You're seeking the Holy Spirit. And the main reason for receiving the Holy Spirit is what we read earlier as well in Acts 1:8, is to be a bold witness for Christ. The Holy Spirit gives you a boldness and enables you to speak the Word of God boldly and proclaim it boldly, and you are enabled to just reach out, maybe out of your normal comfort zone. You know, you might be an introvert. Maybe you're like Peter, you know, and Peter was not really, you know, that courageous when Jesus was about to be crucified. He turned into a coward, denying him. But once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, this boldness came upon him, and he stood up. And you know, when in the Old Testament, when the law was given at Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died when the law was given at Mount Sinai because they got too close to the mountain. The mountain was on fire, and three of them don't come, but they disobeyed, and so the law is given, and 3,000 people were killed. The Bible says that the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Amen? when on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and Peter preached the gospel, gave him that word about the Holy Spirit, what was happening, 3,000 people were saved and they came into the kingdom of God that day because of the boldness and the anointing that came upon him, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. So that's the main reason to be filled with the Spirit, is to just simply be a bold witness. So the question this morning to all of us, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? There was a time in Scripture in Acts chapter 19 where, you know, Paul had gone to preach, and he said, have you received the Holy Spirit after you believed? Or have you seen the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they had not. They said, well, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit, you know. But anyway, they heard from Paul the full gospel, not just the gospel of John, but the full gospel of salvation through Christ. And then after they received Christ as Savior, then he said, okay, well, now let's get you filled with the Spirit. So that's the question to us today. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Not just him coming in when we got saved. That's for everybody who gets saved. But that fullness of the Spirit, and accompanied by that sign.